Blog Talk Radio. All too often these days, the factory whistle is falling silent in America. But there is a way to get American workers back to work. Start buying more American-made products. Now, a Michigan-based company is leading the way in this movement to strengthen our economy. It's called AmericanMadeProducts.com. AmericanMadeProducts.com is more than a way to purchase American-made products online quickly and securely. It's a way to get our economy moving in the right direction. Go online or call and speak to a live customer service representative. AmericanMadeProducts.com, a family company based on the belief in the American worker and the quality of American-made products. If you're an American manufacturer, big or small, and would like your products on our site, contact us. We add products daily. Tell your family, tell your friends, tell your employer about AmericanMadeProducts.com. Visit, shop, and watch America grow. AmericanMadeProducts.com.
We'll play a song or two while we wait for the host to get here. Well, he's here, so we won't play the song. Scott, how you doing?
Dude, I have been running behind all day. Anyway, I have my personal problems. Anyway, hey, hi.
Hello.
Yes, so, hey, before we get going and talking and stuff, real quick, listen out, next Sunday, there will not be a show.
Go ahead.
You got me. I don't. But anyway, next Sunday is Easter Sunday, so we are all going to take time off to spend with our families, enjoy the holiday, and do whatever it is you do. And then we'll pick up Sunday after that. And then probably we're going to go every other week until we get into May, middle of May. And then we'll probably take a break for the summer like we used to. That sound good, Don?
Sounds good to me.
All right. All righty. So we announce next Sunday, no show. Easter, take time off, enjoy the holiday, or whatever it is you do. And then the week after that, and then we'll go every other week after that until we get through May, and we'll be done before the end of May. So. I know everybody likes to go out and start doing stuff for gardens and summer activities, and the holiday is, you know, the end of May. So we'll be done before Memorial Day. But real quick, I have something on my mind, and I want to talk to you before I forget about it. I forgot to tell you last week that I got into a discussion with somebody.
And, oh, yeah?
They told me that these contracts that we got this time around were the best they could do for us.
Really?
That was my same reaction. Yeah, that was my same reaction right there. I laughed. And then I said, really? And
damn.
So I started throwing some stuff at them, and they tried. Notice I said they tried to barter back with me on that. Me, myself, and somebody else, we went through a lot of these contracts for 3 weeks, each one at a time for a week. Yeah, you know, remember?
Yeah.
So we know these contracts, I would say, fairly well, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, I would think. We did about, I think we were doing two shows a week at that point. At one point, we did two.
I'm referring to the one where we did one every day, except for Saturday.
Oh.
Remember, we did six
That's
shows
right.
a week for 3 weeks in a row?
That's true,
okay.
Yeah.
So anyway, this person is an appointed person.
Oh, an appointed person.
Yep.
That explains a lot.
Exactly. And I wanted to share that with you and share that with the listeners so people have an understanding. Where these appointed, I'm not saying all. Please don't take it as that's what I'm saying. I'm just saying that some of these appointed people and some of these people who have a job that's been given to them with a letter of some intent from Solidarity House to the local to act in either a safety or ADAP or whatever, some of these people, that's where their loyalty lies, you know, and it's a shame because, you know, this individual is on a school board for a public school system, too.
Wow.
So I'm just saying, you know, yeah, I couldn't get my head around how somebody could try to sell that to me like that, really, you know? Now, you know, this next week, people are going to have to sign the books. What we refer to as signing the books is it's election time, and you need to go in and sign the book at the Union Hall to let people know that you are interested in running for a position. And it's all the positions that are open. And there has been some talk and some chatter, and I had thought about possibly running as alternate. I even thought about running as committee man because it appears the same old thing is going to happen again. So do I, you know, put myself out there again just for the sake to give somebody a choice? Or do I just sit back and not do anything and just let things go the way they have been? You know? So that's...
Now, I got to hold on for a second. I got something from Dick Dangent, and it's an automatic tow tractor, and it pulls up to 10,000 pounds. It's a Courier 3020 automatic tow tractor, boosts productivity in batch picking, cart towing, and parts to line operation, and has a capacity of 10,000 pounds. This tugger uses vision-guided technology from SeaGrid for superior navigation that requires zero additional infrastructure. This vehicle will slow down 16 to 18 feet before colliding with an obstacle. The vehicle stores up to 15 miles of route at a time, and a manual mode allows for quick and unexpected tasks. Wow. There's a lot of jobs right there.
Yes.
It's a lot of jobs. Thanks, Dick.
Thank you, Mr. Danzen, for that information. You remember back about a month ago when that young lady got her leg injured?
Right.
Okay. They have an automatic one of those to go up and down the ramp. They've already got one. Yeah, no people on it. And that's going to hold, three of those big trailers that they used to put, or two of the big trailers they put stuff on.
Wow. Jeez.
it could be, it could be interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting.
And I want to say it's been 4 years ago when Dick Danzen told everybody about the robots that they had on the line.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
No, maybe even longer than that he was telling us about that. Yeah.
And, you know, and they're working with those. I mean, you got some that talk to the coworkers. They talk to people. I mean, that'd be kind of creepy, but, yeah. I don't know.
Man,
I'm just telling you. I don't care if you're high seniority. Of course, they want the high seniority gone. But I don't care if you're high seniority or low seniority. They want people gone. They want to automate this stuff for
sure
cost savings, I guess.
Yeah.
Let alone all the CEOs.
You don't have to pay.
Last year, all got, you know, big pay.
Yeah. You don't have to pay insurance for these robots. Blue Cross Blue Shield.
Some of them, they don't have to pay insurance on at all. And that's in the contractual language.
And, you know, these folks are out picketing for $15 an hour at McDonald's. Well, they're picketing themselves right out of a job. They're already coming up with these automatic window tellers and everything else.
Yeah, and it's not that they're picketing themselves out of a job. It's just that what happens is you make it easier for the corporation side to try to find a way to remove you. So I don't have to pay you $15 an hour. I don't even have to pay you $10 an hour. I don't have to pay you $5 an hour.
Right.
I'll get something else in here automated, and I think some people call it downsizing, some call it streamlining, reduction of workforce, doesn't matter. They'll bring in the bare bones necessity of what they'll need for manpower, and that's it. Like they do down in South America, where they're working on these fully automated production facilities. There's very few people in there, you know. They don't have to put any lights on. Robots don't need lights. And, excuse me, and that's what's going to happen. You know, some things might be happening that we're not real happy with out here in the world. It's happening because nobody wants to get involved anymore. Nobody wants to go to the union meeting and raise a hand and raise a question. Evidently, you're happy with what you're getting. You're happy with the abuse that you're getting from whether it be some locals or from the Solidarity House. You're happy with what's happening to you. There's no reason to be scared and not say something, but they're happy with that. Don't know why, but they are. And it's disheartening. There's been a lot of stuff going on this week. I posted a bunch of stuff this afternoon. I took a quick break to post the stuff up, and I put a whole bunch of stuff up there. There's some really good information, and there's been multiple people like different things that I put up. But it's not looking good for Fiat Chrysler. They're talking about these guys on the stock market, and I posted some articles on that. I browsed through some of that. And Ford. Ford is hurting right now. And they're taking a hit. They have overproduced. And on top of their market and the reality of what's happening with the overproduction of vehicles is I lost my choo-choo. That's not good. Overproduction, the market. They're telling people not to invest in them, and then and that's all coupled with these big recalls they had here in the last couple of weeks, and that's not a good thing to happen, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I guess, you know, we'll get there. I know that. Everybody's trying to do different things, and ultimately, you know, we don't have a say what happens in corporations. You know, Don and I don't have no say of what they run, what they don't run, and what they use and they don't use. It's sad, but that's the deal. But what we can do is we can explain to you some of the things that we know and maybe how our opinion of how we see things, and I think you and I and everybody else who joins this show does a pretty good job at having discussion around that.
Right.
And
like Brian and Becca, they.
Right. When they're here, and there was a posting that I put up today that I'm going to read it to you when I can get to it here. President of the UAW, Dennis Williams, come out and spoke. And I was, I don't know what I thought when I read it at first. I can say what I thought after. This was on Friday, April 17th, 2017. It's a little long, but it's not too bad. Today is a sad day for hardworking Americans to help build our great country and keep us moving forward. Judge Neil Gorsuch, the most recent nominee of the United States Supreme Court, has clearly demonstrated a track record of issuing rulings and judicial opinions which side against working people and instead align with the powerful corporations as well connected. On this basis alone, he should not be granted a lifetime appointment to the most important court in the land. From his judicial opinions and prior public statements, Judge Gorsuch has been given no indication that he will fight against the harmful impact of dark money on our elections in protecting individuals' basic rights, including the right to vote without discrimination and fear of intimidation. Judge Gorsuch has a clear anti-worker record and has been shown little concern for how his decisions impact ordinary people and the real dangers workers in hazardous industries face every day. His clearly stated and written beliefs on the Chevron standard indicate he will continue to be hostile to determinations by federal agencies such as the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, OSHA, the EEOC, National Labor Relations Board, and other agencies charged with protecting workers' rights, and his prior judicial opinions, which include siding with employers who were penalized for unsafe working conditions and cheated their employees out of wages and seniority rights, amplifying this concern. Having Judge Gorsuch join the Supreme Court would also be bad news for retirees, such as a study of his opinions show he has sided with corporations and against pensioners and benefit plans beneficiaries in 91% of his cases. Judge Gorsuch's judicial philosophy and decisions are so extreme that the Supreme Court very recently, in a unanimous decision, overturned a ruling he made against students with disabilities. Today marks a day in our Democratic tradition of independent judiciary. Senate Majority Leader McConnell recklessly abandoned 230 years of Senate tradition to fast-track Judge Gorsuch to the court. The hypocrisy of this action is appalling, given that the leader McConnell refused to even give President Obama's nominee, Judge Merrick Garland, a meeting, let alone a hearing. Our constitutional democracy, which has been a symbol shown and shared worldwide, was founded on the principles that independent judiciary would be above partial politics. The Senate requests 60 votes, the threshold to advance Supreme Court nominations to encourage mainstream consensus candidates. I fear that the Senate's recent actions will haunt us for many years by eliminating the need to find consensus candidates. Our government will become more politicized and it will be harder to solve the problems in our country faces. We deserve a Supreme Court justice who will be fair, independent, and committed to protecting the rights, freedoms, and legal safeguards that protect every one of us. Today's unfortunate actions by Senate Republicans move us further away from the goal. Dennis Williams, President UAW. Now, I've already gotten some comments on that, and some of our brothers and sisters have said he is wrong. You are entitled to your opinion. Evidently, I think he has somebody from the legal department help him write this. But when he talks in the very last paragraph, we deserve a Supreme Court justice who will be fair, independent, and committed to protecting the rights, freedoms and legal safeguards that protect every one of us. Gee, I bet you if we was to replace this with, let me see, we deserve a UAW president who will be fair, independent, and committed to protecting the rights and freedoms and legal safeguards that protect every one of us. Wow, that fits in pretty well, don't it, Don?
Well, that's exactly what I was thinking when you were reading it.
Everything that he is criticizing, like I said, whether you like this judge or don't like this judge, that's not the main point I'm trying to make, right?
Right.
Everything that he is talking about here is the things that he has failed to do himself to protect us, the members. I don't know even where how to start this conversation on that, because it's we all had some bad contracts, just things that we thought they could have fought for, they didn't, and it's just the downward spiral, and with the tier system, my word, no more tiers. We got enough tiers, and we wind up with tier 3, 4, and 5. So you have tier 2, tier 3, tier 4, tier 5. You got 5 tier systems, 5 different pay levels at these plants. And you would have thought, I don't think that President Williams has the, I don't think that he deserves respect, that people should waste their time to listen to what his opinions are when he can't take care of his own membership. Wow. That's, what do you think?
Well, you're right. You're absolutely right. I'm surprised he even wrote a letter. Took the energy, or somebody wrote that for him. Took the energy to dictate. But I think I agree with you. I think some lawyer at the UAW wrote that and signed his name to it. I don't think he's bright enough.
Right. Which brings me to something that happened the day after last week's show. Automotive News put out an article. It was written by John Irwin at 3:50 p.m. So then on Monday. Dennis Williams collected $171,087 in compensation from the UAW in 2016. That was a gain of 7.6% from 2015. Now, what happened was, from a year ago, our net assets have fell 7.9%. But our membership rose by 1.8%. So we are now, for the UAW members, and I'm sure we're talking about North American operation or North America wide, maybe, I don't know if they're counting the Canadians, but they're 415,963 members. But we're losing money. We grew the membership by almost 2%, but we lost almost 8%. We're down.
Well, there's the tiers for you.
They said that in an article, it said that the drop in the assets was mostly by a $130 million liability due to a new retiree health care trust for staff known as the Voluntary Employee Benefits Association. The union in 2015 agreed to give $346 million to Viva's creation as part of a settlement to a federal lawsuit in 2013. The union's last asset total is the lowest the UAW has reported since 2000. So, you've heard us talk about health care plenty of times in the past, and I'm just wondering where this is going to go. They said that the VEBA liability more than outweighed a 5.5% gain in total assets to $997 million, the highest total since the union reported $1 billion in assets in 2013. The UAW's total assets had declined each year from a peak of $1.27 billion in 2006 to a 2015 low of $945 million. Cash holdings plunged 45% from the end of 2015 to $2.4 million. The value of the union's investments rose slightly to $653 million from $650 million the year before. So I'm concerned with whenever I hear language about the VEBA. I know you perk yours up real quick too, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Absolutely.
I'm
but it doesn't
trying to figure out
any.
Right, and we've seen enough examples in the past that I'm trying to figure out what's going on. You know what I mean? Where's this going to go?
Well, I think we know where it's going.
Yeah, that's what scares me.
Yeah. And, see, Brian's idea was a good idea, maybe, you know. It's time to take these bastards out, vote them out, do something, get them the hell out of there, and put people that give a damn and don't work for the company.
Right. In this article, it said the members paid a total of $182.5 million in dues in 2016. That was a gain of about 8.4% from a year earlier. And they said that they paid out strike benefits to members, rose 35% from a year earlier to $5.8 million.
Right.
You know. We know they don't want to go on strike. And if they do, it's because they were absolutely forced to not to use it as a bargaining tool at all. You know, because we're buddies, we're friends. But President Williams' salary was the second highest UAW president has received dating back to 2000, trailing to only former President Bob King, who made $174,446 in 2012. And they said, despite the raise, Williams' salary still pales in comparison to salaries of some of the other major union presidents. They still want to say that Terrence O'Sullivan, General President of the Laborers International Union of North America, was paid $501,000 salary, and Richard Prumka received $272,000 salary in 2015. So, but I guess we can't leave some of the other people out here. Gary Castillo was paid $158,781. His salary was up 7.3%. Vice President Jimmy Settles, who heads the UAW's Ford Motor Company, received $155,454 salary, a gain of 7.7%. Vice President Norwood Jewell, in charge of the union's Fiat Chrysler unit, was given a salary of $154,142, up 7.4%. And Vice President Cynthia Estrada, who leads the UAW on GM matters, received a salary of $153,772, a gain of 6.2%. Brian Rothenberg, who is a UAW spokesman, said the salary increases reflect raises in pay and bonuses set during a staff contract negotiation.
Wow.
We know that they negotiate their own contract amongst themselves. Remember that?
Right.
You know,
why are you doing what you're doing? I'm trying to, I've been hacked in my email. I'm trying to weed through 2,129 emails, and you'll whittle it down and see what's in it.
2,000?
Yeah, well, that's what happens when you get, I guess, you get hacked and spammed and everything gets screwed up. I couldn't get on my mail for a while on this, on the fax or first email. Can
wow.
Now. I got to clean it up a little bit now.
Right. They said that the UAW spent $13.2 million on political activities in 2016. That compares to $29.9 million that they blitzed in 2012 and $10.6 million in 2008, the two previous U.S. presidential elections. The union campaigned against eventual Trump, President Trump, and they put their weight in behind the Democratic nominee, Hillary Clinton. So there was a problem with that. They said in February, Williams had an internal poll of members revealed that about 60% voted for Clinton in the presidential election, while 33 people voted for Trump and 8% voted for neither. Unprecedented figure that Williams said revealed widespread discomfort with both candidates. Well, here he goes thinking again. You know, he don't listen to his members. He treats his members this way. You know, we're, most of us are pretty smart people. We can figure this stuff out. Like your show last night, which was a good show, by the way.
Thank you.
And I enjoyed Mike from New York, by the way. Mike made some very valuable points that kind of cross over to where we're at here, you know. People need
right.
to sit out here and investigate and read this stuff and see what's going on. And don't just listen to mainstream media. You might have to spend some time looking at some stuff to piece some information together so that you can make a halfway decent decision about something. They're putting our union business out here so everybody can read it. You'd think that President Williams would do the utmost to make sure that we were being well taken care of. It appears, though, he's being very well taken care of, so, and the staff, the International Executive Board is well taken care of. I don't know. It's very disheartening right now where we're at in light of what I said earlier. Ford Motor Company's hurting right now. Their stock is falling. Fiat Chrysler is hurting right now. Their stock is taking a hit. And the whole time, we want to come out and talk about politics. We want to talk about judges who, in his opinion, aren't friendly to us. Well, gee, maybe it's our opinion that you're not very friendly to us either, Mr. Williams. You're supposed to be our president of the union. You're supposed to be watching out for us. And, this doesn't seem like it's, that's what's happening. But you enjoy your pay increase. You enjoy that. You know, if some of these people have to go out and work alternative work schedules and 6 days a week mandatory now, go ahead. Enjoy that. You know, he's on his way out. He's a one-term president, and he's doing what appears to be, in my opinion, as much damage as he can do on the way out. And Lord only knows what's going to follow him.
All right. Yeah. And Dick Danden sent me an email about General Motors' negative cash flow. That's something. And expanding debt.
Yeah. I touched on that a little bit last week, real quick. that that had happened. And there are people watching all this stuff. But it ain't the union. They're too busy out there putting out their political opinions instead of, you know, watching what's going on. You know, and it's sad. It is. To think that this is where we've come from with our union.
Yeah.
So,
he said we should focus on General Motors, too, by the way. Focus on General Motors.
Okay.
And,
yeah.
Dick's listening. I don't know who TJ is. Maybe you do, Scott, but I don't. It says GM is in the margin business, not the motor vehicle business. TJ can tell you what that means. You folks need to focus the show on General Motors now. So that's from Dick Danger.
Hmm.
Who knows? We know he knows this stuff. So I take everything he says and writes, I take it down.
Right.
He's been right on everything. Absolutely
right.
On everything. Unlike the lies we listen to, they're getting a mess we're in now, if you know what I mean.
Right.
We won't bring up his name.
With the General Motors thing, it's there's all sorts of red flags going up. I did post some really good stories about that. Real quick, that they said that Mexico's outputs were up in the first quarter. Just to, you know, let you know.
Yeah, I wonder. Get all you can get out of Mexico. You know, get all you can get out. Just in case Trump does something stupid. You never know.
Right. There is going to be a special edition 2018 Chevrolet Tahoe RST. It was revealed to Eastern Market in Detroit on Wednesday, April 5th, and it's going to be a performance model. So we know that they're making a lot of money on the full-size vehicles and the trucks and stuff. So they seem to think that there is a demand for performance SUV. It will include a 420 6.2 liter V8, a new 10-speed automatic transmission, and magnetic control adaptive shock absorbers. It's the first model, performance model in Tahoe's history. So, I guess they're trying to, you know, watch what happens other places in the market, whether it'd be Range Rover or Dodge with their SRT versions of their vehicles they're making, or the Firehawk. So, I don't know, man. That's something, you know. We're spending all this money on developing all this stuff right here. In the meantime, our business isn't doing so good. You got, like I said, bad credit and negative cash flow. And then this last week, if you remember the week before, I talked about this fellow that was talking about wanting to get on the board and bring his whole team with him. He is out and about again, and I can't remember if it was the Motley Fool. I don't remember which one it was. Anyway, this fellow's coming out, and he's hitting his Jeffries. That's what it was. he come out last week. I thought it was Motley Fool to report about this guy. Remember I told you he comes from an investment group and he had a whole team. And
yeah.
This guy come out and he says, Jeffries and General Motors, the red flags continue to accumulate. He said that they need to rethink the strategy, communicate for analysis, it's overdue. He said that Chuck Stevens is scheduled to hold a call this Thursday to provide more clarity regarding the guidance and targets by featuring valuable opportunity to get some answers. The analysis mentioned that the March sales data reflected persistently high inventory for General Motors with 925,000 units at the end of March, which is an increase of 27 units year-on-year as compared to December. The Detroit Peers inventory is around 80, flat year-on-year, assuming that seasonally adjusted annual rate between 16.5 and 17.5 million units, taking inventory down to a target of 70 days represents 250 to 275,000 vehicles and a potential $1.5 billion contribution shortfall should GM lower production. So it's out there. You know what I mean? It's there. They're saying that the GM Europe transaction, primarily by lowering its gross cash requirements by $2 billion to $18 billion. So there's some stuff out here, and there people are watching. And while we're speaking of GM and people are watching, do you remember a fellow by the name of Rick Wagner? Rick Wagner.
Sure. How? My buddy. My buddy has been in the hell. Yes, I remember Rick Wagner.
Right. Rick Wagner was forced to resign, basically to the government, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that how that kind of worked out? I would have thought that if the kind of cash he was losing in 4 to 5 years, that the board of directors would have done their job.
Yeah, they would have
addressed it.
Yeah.
And they did.
No, they didn't.
It's like our politicians nowadays. They don't do their job. They're more worried about news and this and that instead of taking care of the people. The citizens of the United States. Nice. So, General Motors CEO, who killed the original electric car, is now in the electric car business. I like that.
Yeah.
He resigned under pressure in 2009, and he's back. He joined the board of ChargePoint, which maintains a network of charging stations for electric cars. They said this would normally be an uneventful appointment. Industry veterans often advise promising startups, save for Wagner's history as the executive who killed GM's first electric car. In 96, they rolled out the EV1, an innovative battery-powered car. And it was a great vehicle, too, you know. Tom Hanks drove one, Mel Gibson drove one, there's all sorts of people, you know. And anyway, they killed it. And now we're all trying to supposedly make another electric vehicle after they had one that was totally functional and it worked. So Wagner is back with this company that, of course, is manufacturing and the distribution of car chargers. So he's back. He's back. Well, he's not back into one of the big three, but he's back around the cars.
Yeah.
So, there is a problem. They're worried about the market, about GM and the sales peaking. They're talking about, they're watching the GM stock, and it's only reacting negatively. Every piece of news, whether it's positive or negative, GM stock is fluctuating up and down. And they want to know how long this is going to last.
Now, the other day I was watching Fox Business, and Tesla went ahead of General Motors as the most expensive, more expensive company, more expensive than, I think it was $50 billion. I can't remember the price now, but it took over the big three by quite a bit. Now, I don't know if it stayed that way through the week. I don't know, but they did take over. They were, I was watching it. They were as they were talking, Tesla was in second, right behind General Motors. And before they were done talking about it, Tesla went ahead of General Motors as being more expensive. And they just started, you know. So that should tell people something about the leadership of General Motors.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I went to the investor site, and the information wasn't up. They did post this last week, I believe. They did, General Motors did report out and sort of report about their March sales on a percentage basis. GM crushed Ford. They were expecting GM to increase its March retail sales by 5.5%, but GM disappointed, only reported a 1.9% increase. Ford, on the other hand, decreased to 2% in their retail sales, more than 7% due to high 2016 sales. So, General Motors' average transition price, which is an average for the cost of a vehicle across the board. That's from the Sonic or the Spark all the way up to the 3500 Denali Edition and the Cadillac Escalade. I mean, this is average of all vehicles total. And it said the transition average was $34,000. In March.
34.
That's your average.
Man.
That's, yeah. Ford, on the other hand, lost money. They said that Chevrolet had its best quarter since 2008 in truck segment, with sales increasing to 6%, with Suburban and Tahoe leading the group. You know, but, like I said, you know, trucks have the highest, you know, margin, which, you know, means higher future profit. So, interesting stuff, this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So, gentlemen, go ahead.
No, I just saying it's interesting.
Right. The investors are saying that they prefer the GM stock or the Ford due to the lower valuation of GM stock. While Ford offers a higher dividend yield, GM stock has a safer valuation. Ford is a better cash flow position, but is mainly caused by much lower spending. So I don't know. It's, you know, you have to really sit down and try to get your head around this and put your eyeballs on and your thinking cap when you start talking about cash flow and before pre-tax and after-tax stuff and dividends, and it gets pretty hairy. But I don't think it's on the up and up like it used to be either. You know what I mean? So it's there. Buick, by the way. Also on that note, real quick. Motley Fool did put out a great article that General Motors thinks that 2017 will be another great year for them. Don't listen to what everybody else is saying, but, you know, listen to what the chief financial officer has to say. So 2017 is going to be
a banner year, a
great year. Besides, you know, some concerns that rose in the first quarter. Mary Barra did really well. General Motors is putting $600 million on self-driving cars this year.
Self-driving cars?
Yes, sir.
I do not want to be in one.
I
think a lot of cabs and things like that might use self-driving cars, but I can't see there being a big market for that right now anyway. I just don't see it.
No. Detroit, Mary Barra was the highest paid Detroit 3 executive in 2016 at almost $23 million. Plus, we don't know what.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And we don't know what her perks were. So, you know what I mean? Stock options, stuff like that.
Freaking crazy. That is freaking crazy.
And the British Broadcasting Company, BBC, did say that Tesla closes in on General Motors as the most valued U.S. car maker.
Oh, so they lost the lead again. Okay. Well, that's good.
Well, I don't know. Well, that could be. I don't care if you're that close that you guys are flip-flopping back and forth taking the lead. That just tells me your competition is right on your heels, right?
I would think so. That would tell you something. And if you look at what General Motors does in vehicle produce and compared to Tesla, I think there's a big difference. Big difference.
Right. Absolutely. They said that Ford and Chrysler lost in the auto sales, and GM, on the other hand, gained some market share back, which is a good thing.
That is a good thing because you don't hear about market share anymore. You know, that used to be very important back in when I was younger. It was market share. That's all you would hear about. Now it's just seems no big deal to the auto companies.
Spending some money, they want to, you know, you start talking about market share, you know, they're expanding their markets, global market, you know. They're going to launch a plug-in car in China next year, and they want to electrify most of them by 2025. So I don't know what Ford's got up their sleeve, but they are Ford is, I guess, encouraged for their relationship with China. Interesting to see where Ford's going to lay with their market and their Chinese, what they're going to do. They're going to go the way of like Buick. There was also Ford was designing a crib that mimics a movement of a car so your child can go to sleep easier.
They're putting so much stuff in these vehicles. If one thing goes, it's going to blow out about probably $5,000 worth of equipment. Then, you know, I'd rather have a roll window. Go ahead.
This is a standalone crib. You buy this and bring it into your home.
Oh, man.
It gently rocks side to side and front to back. It has little LEDs that simulate traffic lights and stuff while you're going down the road to help put, you know, Junior to sleep.
my God.
You know, we're not worried about the Mustang with some bad parts. People are concerned about some Mustangs that could potentially wind up on a warranty recall right now.
Yeah.
They're not worried about what's happening. Their stock is starting to dive on them. They got a lot of recalls. They got four main recalls right now, one with over 500,000 vehicles. They have all sorts of problems going on right now, but we got the money to design a baby crib for Junior. Helps him get the sleep center.
So, what else can they put in a vehicle and charge big dollars for? This useless crap. I just want to get down the road with the least amount of problems. That's all I care about. I don't care about electric windows. I don't care about electric door locks. If I can't push that little thing down with my thumb, well, there's something wrong with me. I take all this electric crap out of these vehicles.
Right.
They're outpriced. Price themselves right out of everybody's market with all this junk they're putting in.
Yeah,
they have
not a lot of it is coming from the United States, neither.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so that's the sad part. I'm with you. There's so much stuff, and yeah, some of the stuff is kind of cool, but I think back to a 1968 Chevy CK1500.
All right.
You know, pretty simplistic. Yeah, we've got some cool technology today that we could probably make the ride a little better and make it a little bit safer. Sure. But, you know, what's wrong with rolling down your own windows? Not saying not have air conditioning, but give us the locks back. Give us our roll-up windows. They say they have to have these onboard computers to make it more efficient.
Right.
When we wanted to make it more efficient, we did our own points and plugs, and we would retard or advance our timing a little bit depending on how we wanted to run. So, I don't know.
Those are the good old days. Underneath the shade
tree,
yeah, working on your vehicle. It was easy to do. Easy to do. It sure isn't easy anymore.
When you could actually put your, you know, set up on the fender and put your feet down over there.
Yeah. Yeah, you could.
Oh. Well. I don't know.
Too old. I like the old days. Old days when you had to. All I need is an air conditioning, power steering, and brakes, and that's it. I got along just fine with just that.
Right. Right.
Right. Bell, my Simca. I had a Simca, my first car. That was a piece of junk, but I enjoyed it.
Right. Well, I don't know. Hopefully, we get back to that. You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's sad. You know, all these people that don't even design cars in the United States anymore. Oh.
Yeah, you're right.
Anyway. Well, before we get to end the show, let's remind everybody again, there will be no show next week.
No.
Enjoy the holiday.
Enjoy your Easter
family.
Yes, please do.
I was told to enjoy your negotiated holiday off. I will. And
yes.
Then,
please do.
We'll be back the week after that, and then we'll be going, and we'll talk about that when we come back, when
right.
The next show will be. We're going to go every other week. And
yeah,
unless
if something happens,
we'll
post it on your union's workplace Facebook page.
Workplaces and unions. Yep.
Post
that.
One day I'll get that right. And we'll post what's going on with the show.
Yeah.
And so stay tuned. If you don't belong, please join the Facebook page. Some good people on that page.
Yeah. Yep.
Good information.
If you run into town,
tell that old bastard it's time to retire for me, would you? It's time.
Which one?
T-Bone. Terry Tobias.
Yeah.
I think it's about time my brother stepped out of that plant for a while. He's got that Camaro. He needs to be able to enjoy that Camaro. That's one sharp-ass vehicle, I'll tell you that right now. That was one sharp-ass vehicle. I love that color. You don't see any colors. I've never seen a vehicle that color on the road. I'm sure there's some, but I haven't seen them, and it was nice. Very nice. He let me touch it even, and that was a miracle. He checked my hands and everything, made sure they weren't dirty. He got the floor lights and all, and it's just sharp.
Flick,
40
huh?
years ago, I could have picked up anybody in that bad boy. Tie that old hair and get in there and maybe put some wrinkle cream on. Get rid of some of these wrinkles. Who knows what would happen. Anyway, that's me. T-Bone's having a good time. But you have a great week, Scott. Anything happens, give me a call. Run into T-Bone, tell him I said howdy. And he's a hell of a good guy. I hope he runs for something one day.
Yep.
He put it out there,
alrighty,
though. He put it out there with you. Yeah, he sure did. He sure did. I was proud of him. Very proud of him.
Yep.
You know, people are...
step up and do something.
You damn right. And people were too damn busy, you know, too tired to devote or didn't. You know, it's put the same people in there. Well, you got them. Don't complain. You got them. Of course, nobody voted for anybody. It's amazing how they do that.
Right.
All right, brother. I'm going to let you go. Eat. Dinner time.
All righty. Everybody have a good Easter. Enjoy the holiday, and we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Yes, and I'd like to thank Dick Dangin for the emails. I appreciate that. You can come on the show anytime. And explain what the hell is going on to us. You know more about things than we do, and we'd love to have you. On behalf of Rebecca, Brian, me, and Scott, our host, have a great Easter, great week, be safe, and good night, everybody.
Good night.